Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're again grateful to stand here with your people, Lord, knowing that you are here, that we are in your presence, and you are in our presence, that this is not a figment of the imagination, but this is real and true, and we cannot appreciate enough, Lord. We just trust that we will increase in sobriety, sincerity, and their wisdom concerning that revelation, Lord, so that our lives will be drastically changed, O God, more into your image day by day. Help us, Lord, to understand and to live the life, Lord, that should accommodate this great life that you have put within us and this great life that's amongst us. Just coming right to the day, Lord, when we know that you in your human form, that your spirit becomes incarnate to us, crowning you King and King, Lord of Lords, and coming back here on the earth, setting up the kingdom which is already in progress, putting in a divine order. We pray, Lord, that the reality shall come deep upon our souls and we'll walk in it. May it be our life and our breath. May it be our food. May we eat it and live it and sleep it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning, I want to take a little study called A Study of Man. And, of course, I won't be able to do it justice, even if I could preach for 6 or 8 hours. I wouldn't be able to do it justice, but we'll try to take some thoughts anyway concerning the subject, just simple, easy things that aren't hard to understand, and just may sort of cap off, not necessarily cap off, what we've been dealing with this last period of time. So, a study of man. Now, the study of man is known as anthropology. It's the same, I guess, as the study of the stars and relations to effect upon mankind was known as astrology. They have all these ologies in the Greek, and this is one of them. It's called anthropology. And anthropology, which is the study of man, is based on observation as to what mankind does. It's based on how people conduct themselves individually, socially, racially, interracially, and how they act as pertaining to their sexuality, male from female, being different. In other words, anthropology, or the study of man, is actually documentation through observation. Now, to go beyond observation for documentation embraces philosophy. And philosophy is the love of wisdom or knowledge. Philosophy attempts to deal with what causes conduct. It grandly speaks of laws and principles wherein the races that foster be, or wherein rather, what lies within the races themselves. See, what is in the people. Foster their behavior, their conduct, or what causes them to send forth certain stimuli and or initiate something which would cause a stimuli. And then it studies the responses of those stimuli. And these two branches of study, anthropology and philosophy, are actually inseparable. They have to stay together, really, to know anything about mankind. But they are anything but scientific in their union, as philosophy depends upon reasoning. And reasoning in itself is never conclusive. Because though you may see a million evidences that you are completely right in your conclusion as you look at the behavior and diagnose from it, there always are exceptions. And when there's exceptions, then the rule is broken. So man has always cried out when it comes to philosophy and when it comes to anthropology. He always cries out the simple cry, which is, what is truth? And you know, that was asked in the days of Jesus. I think Pilate says, what is truth? Then he turned and walked off. In other words, can we find absolutes in the human race? And can we find absolutes for the human race? See, is there a common life stream that can be tapped into to bring man to an absolute? Though not actually carbon copies or clones, because he is to retain his individuality. That's what they're wondering about. Since the answer, if left to man alone, is based in philosophy, we would need a man of superintellectual ability to gather all the data and at the same time possess the power to analyze and interpret it and predict in specific and not general terms, the exact responses to the various stimuli. And it looks like sometimes people don't even need a stimulus, but it's there inside, in a spirit form somehow. So they have to know all of that which abounds in the human race. Now, this brings us to where we are today, which is a computer age. And you know, you can feed information into a computer, and you come up with answers. And that's okay if you're going to design a car according to the principle of aerodynamics, and you don't feed the computer a bunch of bunk. But the computer is only as good as the person that programs it, and what comes out is only as good as what was viewed from the law of science, which is strictly by observation and testing. And who in the world would dare to trust a computer, though it looks like we're going more and more that way, to truly come up with what lies within man and how man can be helped if he can truly be helped? Well, you know, that would have to come up with what actually then, what is the truth about man? Well, who's going to go into it? Well, if you had somebody of that caliber, which would take a human being, photographic mind, how many years would he have to live to be able to produce what should be produced? Methuselah lived for 969 years. Adam wasn't far behind. And the best they produced was the cataclysmic flood, where God Almighty had to wipe them off the face of the earth, almost every single person. So, if you had somebody of this stature, what I've been talking about, outside of the computer, even he with computers, even that would not be enough for the awareness that you'd come to would only explain the laws of effect, but would not convert those laws or what caused the effect to bring out a correct effect every single time, which the Bible would simply call blessings and cursings or good and evil. See, you couldn't do it. 6,000 years of anthropology and philosophy have brought us only to genocide. And one step from genocidal annihilation of all peoples and kingdoms on earth, whether it be animal kingdom or plant kingdom, or the inanimate structure of the earth itself, because it could go off under hydrogen atomic bombs into complete dissolution. Now that's the best the human race has come to, 6,000 years genocide, and almost completely annihilated genocide. Because where will America and Russia stop? They have that little feeling, aha, it won't be that bad. We'll get out of it. Yeah? The revelation of truth does not lie in man. For though he is a reasoning creature, he cannot come to the truth by reasoning, because you've got to go from the visible to the invisible. Then, if you can go from the visible to the invisible, theoretically, let's say that you can, that I can reach out and get my hand on the invisible, how do I know which of the invisible I've got my hands on when I'm dealing with visible effects from laws which are invisible? How are you going to do it? See, you cannot go from the visible to the invisible. You know as well as I do. Look, and that makes the biggest bunch of fat-headed liars under God's creation, pseudo, malicious, fallacious scientists. There are no more scientific, nothing, because the word science comes, the word scio, scio, scivi, scidum, which means to know in the Latin. And nobody assuredly knows anything. You sitting here don't know one thing this morning. I don't even assuredly know. The best that we know is operative on the grounds of faith. See, God himself never ever proved anything to anybody. You can see what man does, but you can't see within him what makes him do it. We would have to know what lies in man to bring forth both good and bad fruit. In other words, what is in there that lets this fellow be a bitter and sweet fountain? Where it came from is good and bad fruit. And above all, to stop the source of the bad so that good may come continually. And the question is, what is good? Then the next question, how much is genetics? As God said, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? See? Then you being evil might do good. We would have to find a way to come into a source of power that would govern life as we want it to be. There again, that's catch. And there, that man, if we found one, would fail again, for what he might interpret as being the desire of mankind could not prosper, for man is anything but omniscient, and certainly not omnipotent, but next door to complete physical failure, as seen in his philosophical pursuits of sexual pleasure, with AIDS about to destroy all mankind. And in the face of AIDS, he still seeks his kingdom of his own desires and refuses to give up any restraint upon it with the threat of death. Now, I wish you could all see that film I saw on AIDS under Koppel. I want you to see that. Well, certainly, if we still got it, we'll circulate it. I want you to see how those homosexuals reacted to the truth. And that was, we don't care. We're going to do it our way, and you're going to pay for it and see that we don't die in doing it. Now, that's exactly what you will see. That's the farthest that man has come. You say, why? Because he will die. How much sex did they have when they were dying? The body comes to the place even under venereal disease, under the fourth generation of gonorrhea, especially syphilis, where the mind is so far gone there's no even thought of procreation because he cannot procreate. What do you get under the galloping disease of AIDS? To us it is evident that mankind needs a philosophy from an omniscient source, one who can know the end from the beginning, delineate every response from every stimuli, and set us on a course which will bring us to a place where study and philosophy are not needed. But life is lived as it should be, a pure source, a pure product. We'd have arguments on that, wouldn't we? Say, what's a pure source, what's a pure product? I want it this way, I want it that way. Strange to say, God has provided that already through a prophet, and the millennium that man calls utopia is about to begin. However, be it noted, and I mean noted, that this dawn of a new humanity we're talking about, that I say has already come, does not lie in conduct or obedience, but solely and wholly in grace. You don't need a computer-minded man. That's completely out. But you need somebody to pick you up by the scruff of the neck, dust you off, give you a bath, call your son, and said, look, you didn't know this, but here it is for you. And if you can't see that in this hour, brother, sister, you never got the message of grace at all. You just thought you did. Brother Branham categorically said, if God ever sends his power back in the church, it will not be by obedience. So I don't come into laws, you learn how many things you figure. It would be by grace. Now, the Bible is the source book for Elijah the prophet who came to spearhead an entrance into paradise where those who enter will be in perfect harmony with the universe, God in his Zoe and cosmos. How many people today think are going to make it when they deny God? They've already denied him. The denying of the prophet William Branham, God in the prophet. Let me read you something because it's a little difficult for my memory to function too good. Why should it function? I can read my notes. Here's a brother Branham said, now the entire Holy Spirit visits the church, making God in human flesh as he did before Sodom. The church, fully deceived into causing the people to worshiping Satan through the church. Boy, did the Pope blow it this week or last week when he went to talk with Waldheim. And he said, well, you see, I met him as a head of state. Ah, yes, the state of corruption, of immorality, of degradation. Yeah. The head of a church, every Catholic ought to quit the church with that. But they haven't got the guts, they're Kennedys. In fact, they've got an appetite for it, because that's what a Kennedy would do. Be interesting, the White Throne is the day after tomorrow, 24 and a half hours away maximum, 24 and a quarter. We'll soon find out what happened with the hero Chappaquiddick and his girlfriend. This prophet was the forerunner of the perfect mind and will that is now in process of establishing truth and establishing man in the truth and as a part of the truth, so that anthropology and philosophy will literally be one from a higher source. And Ephesians 1:3-12 will be fulfilled. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has blessed us. And he's not talking about your pre-existence. He's talking about your present existence, for the Ephesian church could have had a rapture. In all heavenly places in Christ, according he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, to be admirably suited through grace to this position we're talking above, coming down upon earth. We should be holy, without blame before him, in love having predestined us unto the adoption of children to by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace, when he made us accepted and beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood. See, there's how you're going to get there. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, when he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. And in dispensation, the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. You know, that starts just in a matter of minutes. That starts the millennium. See, don't get your eyes in Revelation 20:21-22. That tells you about everybody. This is about the bride. Millennium. Having made known as that he has been according to good pleasure, he purposed himself that in this place, the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, things are on earth. In whom also we attained inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose and the work of all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, he first trusted in him. See, you're looking at that. A super, super, super race is in the making, approaching its head, who will guarantee that the angels and spirit creations of God will be engaged in a new anthropological study. And see, the true philosophy is God, as seen by Ephesians 3:1-12. Let's read it. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mysteries I wrote in the fore, in a few words whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge, mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and the partakers of his promise in the God Christ, in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, and less than all, least of all saints, and this grace is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles in search of riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from before times eternal hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness. All right, there's your true study of anthropology, is watching the church. And the true philosophy is seeing what God wrought in her, knowing that God's behind the whole thing. See? With that, we want to combine Peter, 1 Peter, because I want you to see this now. Through the eternal ages, something is going to be up there, and they're going to be watching us. That's anthropology. They're going to know the philosophy and wisdom of God. 1 Peter 1:10-12, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of times the Spirit of God, which was in them, did testify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ, the glory that should follow. Unto whom is revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. They're going to be watching the church. And then they're going to understand true anthropology and philosophy. There'll be no guesswork. I can understand the scientists and geneticists and anthropologists. I can understand the philosophers, their problems. They're never going to lick them. They're not coming the right way. You got to be a people well laid back and understand truth and let God bring you out of darkness and light. All the humanistic and erroneous approaches of man, wherein men try to deal with mankind, hoping to understand themselves in the possibility of coming to the truth and the implementation of living that truth, will be eradicated. And then shall be Habakkuk 2:14 be fulfilled, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You get to understand the things you don't understand now. You're not asked to understand those things. This is just the beginning. This goes to the millennium. When your mind's unencumbered. Your minds are encumbered. You've got no more chance. Well, I wouldn't put you've got no more chance. Put it this way. You've got no more chance in the human than the man in the human that doesn't have God, except God reveal it to you, you being born again. See? No more will God cry out through the prophet's voice as he did in Hosea 4 and 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you. That's exactly John 3:16 and on, where it says this is a condemnation that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. It matters that Jesus died upon Calvary, but it means nothing to you except condemnation if you don't receive the light. You see? Furthermore, he keeps on with the same voice. Seeing you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Let me ask you a question. Did Luther's children forget? Yes, they forgot. God forgot them. Did Wesley's children forget? Yes, they forgot. God has forgotten them. Don't try to remind God, my brother, my sister. Have the Pentecostal children been forgotten? Yes. There's only one children group today, brother, sister. In this day, as eternity is overcoming time, we hear Isaiah 20:49-16. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. The Lamb himself is our Lamb's book of life. We are upon his palms. That's what revealed when he came down and let us know our names were therein. And our walls, which are New Jerusalem, are continually before him, and we have seen it, if we only want to believe in revelation, and that which proves the revelation. All right. That's enough in that vein. We as Bible Spirit-filled believers know we have to get our answers from God's holy word by spiritual revelation. So first of all, let us look in the Bible as we find it for man and his purpose. Biologically, man at the beginning was, and that's as far as the physical is concerned now, not the spiritual, because we're talking about man as man is studying. You can't study the man that left his body. You can't do it. Biologically, man at the beginning was and still is a mammal. He's an animal who was both created and formed and given a position of stewardship over the earth and its contents and responsibility for its well-being and its destiny. I got to think of that one. Stewardship. For its well-being and its destiny. All but God himself was accountable to man. In other words, man could not account to God for God. God's sovereign. But man was accountable to God for every single thing in the universe. So all but God was under the domain of accountability. His stewardship's accountability to God was such that his success or failure encompassed the whole earth and extended to the universe as a whole. Because the universe affects the earth. and affects you and me. If Adam stepped up in responsibility, had he gone to the tree of life? All else would have stepped up with him. If Adam fell, all else would fall with him. Let's just take a look at Hebrews to see this stepping up business. 11 and 40. The heroes of faith. They've gone on before us in the first resurrection. What does it say about you and me? God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. They stepped up. We're guaranteed to step up. You follow what I'm saying? All right. When they're brought down, we're brought down. Let's go to Romans, the 5th chapter. In the 5th verse, not the 5th verse, the 15th verse, reading. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, so death came. Verse 16. And not as if by one the sin. For the judgment was one by one to condemnation. 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one. Verse 18. Therefore as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners. Verse 19. 20. More of the law entered that the offense might abound. 21. Sin has reigned unto death. Preaches everybody. When Adam fell, everything fell. There was nothing left that did not fall. Adam and God's cosmos were one. The Zoe and cosmos of God were one with man in the form of Adam. The specific scripture proof of what I have said is over here in the book of Romans 19 to 23. For the earnest expectation of creation is waiting for the manifestation or the placing of the sons of God. Placing where? In the true order of divine grace. So that every cell member of the body of Christ is by grace predestinated through the human race. With every person, every gift, every measure is of God. Reading again, for creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, by reason it was subjected the same in hope, because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Where did corruption start? In man. In the mind. Into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together to now. And not only it, but ourselves also, which have even the first fruit of the Spirit, vindication that this is not our lot and we are going to get out of here. Even we are groaning ourselves, but we will groan. And there's no way we're not going to groan until the adoption, the placing of sons in the resurrection, the redemption of the human body. All right. And the prophet Elijah, as William Branham explained, that which we have said in the seals, wherein the Lamb takes the book, looses the seals, giving, and he was giving back God the title deed of the property and property rights that Adam lost in the fall. In fact, Brother Branham went so far as to declare this unsealed document to be an abstract, which is a brief containing the names of all title holders, whoever had the name on the title, and any judgments or debts in existence against the property. So, when he handed the abstract back, the title deed with the abstract, it shows there isn't any debt against Adam and the Adamic race. It's been taken care of. Furthermore, we know that Paul speaks of himself and all mankind as sold as slaves in the marketplace, placed under complete slavery by sin. The earth is no less under the thraldom of sin. And it's come to the place where the earth can no longer purify itself. You're a good agronomist, understand that a fertile, balanced soil does not attract bugs and weeds. It's the other soil that does it. But man's not going to do a thing about it. You know why? Because they're screaming for bread. And the bread that they get will not satisfy them because it doesn't have the elements that God put in them. You mean to tell me that God made something inferior to what these bunch of bohunks out here are producing? I can get a wild rose. Might not look as pretty as this bunch of hybridized junk, but doesn't attract the bugs and the diseases. In fact, looks like man is finally getting a bit of a breakthrough by being sensible. Understand Armstrong, they've taken their cue from NASA in different places. Now they've got a rose that they sort of clone now. And when the winter comes, it can even freeze down, grow right up again because it comes out of the root. Science is smartening up a little bit. They know it's got to come out of a root. The government won't do it. It's too stupid. It's run by a bunch of jackasses. And we put them in there. Pardon me, if I may, should take that back and be a nice guy and say a bunch of people that don't know what they're really doing. They don't know what they're doing. They're doing it with the lobbyists. And let's face it, everything for a buck. They haven't begun to protect us by keeping our seeds from being finally destroyed. They haven't protected the animals. It takes men who love nature. And they're the more the hippie bunch. Let's face it, I can't. Oh, God, help us how far we've gone. Think we're Christians. They're the ones that are trying to preserve the good seeds that aren't attacked by rodents. And, well, rodents aren't so bad, but the bugs and the pests in the way of fungus and bacteria. Our government wouldn't care two bits if it was all gone. So later on, you could eat all the food you want, and your bellies would still swell from starvation. The prophet said there's nothing left in the earth, but he didn't say man couldn't put it back in if he wanted to. You'll never do it on a monumental scale. How come up there in Oregon, they say, where the dust from Mount Helena fell over the whole land, is producing tremendous things. And the little buggies and little animals are now burrowing through the dust and the lava and is making the ground come back. And the production that was in the earth before that they haven't seen for years and years is coming back. God haste the day when the volcanoes are up and cover this earth once more. I'm not being callous. If we don't look out for our self-interest, you tell me who's gonna. Oh, you say, well, the Bible said no man cared for my soul. Why should he if you didn't care for it? Don't think people don't care for your soul and God doesn't care for your soul, but you don't care for your soul. Yes, sir. Bodies, souls need bodies to go in. The healthier the body, the easier it is on the old soul in there, too. See? Now, the earth is no less under the thraldom of sin. It sure is not. At this time, the spiritual resurrection has already taken place in the bride and is waiting like Adam, who is in a spirit form, to get the physical body that put him in complete harmony with God and nature at that time. We've got to go beyond that. To see the magnitude of Adam's stewardship and consequently the magnitude of our own loss and his loss, we just go back simply to read Genesis 1, 26 to 28, and we'll see it right there, what I've been talking about. So God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. How many complexes do you think God's got? How many types of stimuli to get an effect does God have? Does he send forth bitter and sweet water? Adam was sure in good form back there in the image of God. Have a bit of trouble. Not a bit of trouble. Made in the likeness of God, spirit form. Let him have the end of the fish to see, the fowl of the air, cattle to all over all the earth, every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. The image of God created him, male and female created them. One spirit body. Two spirits, as it were, blended. God blessed them, sent them to be fruitful, and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue, and have dominion or the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, every living thing that moves upon the earth. So God gave him complete domain. Let's take a look at, again, Romans, I beg your pardon, Romans. The fifth chapter. And you get that 12th verse up there. Wherefore is by one man sin of the world, and death by sin. And death passed upon all men for all of sin. He added in the complete power to bring forth a race of people in the image of Almighty God. A terrible picture a man is painted in Romans, the 3rd chapter, 10 to 18, if we just want to read it. As it's written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. Together become unprofitable. None that doeth good, no, not one. How many times you heard the Nazarene, the legalist, Pentecostal, the Methodist say, I sought God. Hogwash, you sought God. You're a liar and you know it. You're no more sought guy than a hog wanting to go to the butcher. Wanting to get penned up. Listen to what man's like. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of asp under their lips. Ha! That's a pretty picture, but a sure truth. Need our mouths washed up with the soap of God, don't we? Whose mouths are full of cursing and bitter speech, swift to shed blood, destruction, misery in their ways, the way of peace they have not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. How low they sunk is also seen in Romans just before the great flood. Beginning in Romans 1, chapter 21st verse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, and neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened. That's before the flood, and they had a second chance. What about today? When God was fully exposed before them. What chance? Talk about your foolish heart. Rich increased in goods, they say, and think we lack nothing, but they're wretched, miserable, naked, blind, and don't even know it. Caught up in their multiplicity of illicit affairs with idolatry and churchiality. Change the glory of the uncorrupted God to an image made like corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts and things. What have they done? They rationalize God. A God of creation. That made them gods. Because they're over creation. Wherefore, God gave them uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. In other words, when they thoroughly associate themselves with nature, they can only associate with animals. You can't associate with plants. Go and kiss a plant and see what you get back. Be like they sting you on the nose and serve you right for kissing a plant. Associate with the trees, the birds. You associate with animals, though, and that's instinctual. We'll talk about that in just a minute. We'll talk about it. So lust their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Change the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator is blessed forever. In other words, all they thought was service to themselves and to mankind. For this cause, God gave them up to vile afflictions. And so the church, being so kind and sweet, endorsed homosexuality. Even their women did change their natures, that which is against nature. Who was the first big shot woman died of AIDS? You know who it was? Mrs. Flint. Rotten as they ever came. Pretty woman. Told her husband, yeah, you got Christ and $20 million walked up when you did. She was bisexual. She was filth. That's it, right? But no different than anybody else. I'm condemning her. I admire her that she'll stand up and tell the truth. She evidently didn't wait to die to promulgate her junk. Although I understand before she died, she was looking for something a little nicer by way of nicer magazines. Her husband wouldn't grant that. Well, that's man. He thinks he's got God up here and have anything down here. Got news for you, brother, sister. What's up here will dedicate what's down here and indicate it. Their religion was filth like this here. Likewise, the men, leaving natural use of women, burned their lust one toward another. This is funny, isn't it, here? It's strange. It says the women got into homosexuality before the men did. Huh. Good reason for it, I suppose, you know. I don't know. Well, it was sin, wasn't it? When I say good reason, I meant there must have been something really brewing under the surface there. 28. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave an order to reprobate minds to do those things which are not convenient, abnormal. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors, evil things, disobedient parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. I saw those implacable bunch in that building. The only placation they had, sure, go ahead and do it, and we'll pick up the bill for you. We'll get you out and restore you to health, you can go all through it again. Why, that's like telling the guy, stick your hand in the meat grinder, and I'll restore it, and you stick it in again and again and again. My God, what's married people? Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them to do them. They know the judgment of God is in the land. They know that something is striking. And they take their pleasure in it. Yes, sir. All right, listen. By the time of the flood, there was only one true human being left. That was Genesis 6 to 9. Genetically perfect. After Noah's death, there was no genetically true human being. And there are none today. The dominant genes of the beast have taken over again. Until man is purely sensual, as dying beasts, can be aroused sexually, the male, by the scent of the female in rut. He can be dying, but he'll do his dead level best to have intercourse. So the human race is purely animal. I don't like to preach that you shock people, but I'm a shocker, and I might as well. I mean, I'm an X-rated preacher, and you're going to get them both barrels. Because it's the truth. Weeds. With one little hair root will propagate themselves. I hate weeds. Finally get to the place you pick them up and you hang them on a wire and watch them roast. Because you know those stinkers, one little bit of moisture, one, hey, I'm telling the truth. Right? Give them one teeny weeny break, which is no break, and they will come to seed, which is sex. Oh, you bet. And parents cannot caution their kids these days. I don't know what's wrong with parents. Some wrong parents don't caution their kids to try to help them. See? It says in 1 Corinthians 15 and 20, all died in Adam. That meant separation from God and all that God meant in the universe to Adam. And all that Adam possessed was forfeit. I'm glad there's a Brother Branham told us about the abstract and the title deed. Adam was created for lordship, to be a prince under God, who is his father, the king. Adam had a prime obligation to God. He was to people the world with images of God. Children of God who would also take headship for God over God's creation. Essentially, it was up to Adam to people the new Jerusalem with sons of God. And by lesser predestination and election, all the rest of the sons were to come in outside the holy city. Psalm number 8 speaks of Jesus, but also it gives us a part with him. Now, Brother Branham said this with Jesus. O Lord our God, how excellent. O Lord, O God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. That's his own testimony about himself and how great he is. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. If God does it so simple a little baby can get it, then he shuts every mouth at the white throne judgment, doesn't he? And that's going on now. Rewards are being handed out, you know. Have you got your hands open for rewards, like I said this morning, on the glass of cold water? When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man you visit him, for thou hast made a little lower than the angels, crowned him with glory and honor, and made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and all beasts of the fields, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, whatever passes the waters, the path of the seas. O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. But they sure ruined the name of God in the earth, didn't they? You notice, Paul takes that to Jesus And he said, suffering made flesh to suffer. So that's man in their second lead. All right, secondly, wherein was the failure? Man was supposed to be this, ordained to it, and we'll come to it eventually, yes. Yes, he will. Where was the failure? Study of Genesis reveal. Eve sinned with the serpent, and Adam sinned with Eve. Was, of course, sexual sin. Genesis 1. (clears throat) 26 to 29, which we already read, didn't we? Let's make man their image. Give them all this. Be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth. Verse 28. Subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea. The fowl of the air. Everything that moves upon the face of the earth. What was that subduing of the earth? I think keeping the plants and things in order. And ruling nature as God by the Holy Spirit does now. All right. But Genesis 1:26-29 is followed by 2 and 7, where man and woman, but each separately, is put into a human body. And then warned, Adam was warned, after being put in the Garden of Eden, not to defile himself by taking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If he did, he would die. Then 16 to 25, he gives them all this authority, whatever we, whatsoever we see. Well, let's see, that's 2 and 25, yeah. Now, there is no mention in Genesis 1:28 what followed later on when Adam was put into a physical body. Let's go back then so I'll understand, I'll explain what I'm saying. Let's look at 1:28. And God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it. Now, that was not said after being put into a human body. So we understand the command of God to Adam in propagation was for images, not bodies. But we cannot bypass Genesis 1 and 29. And God said, behold, I've given you herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth. And every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, it shall be to you for meat. Which means, in the physical, spiritual form, it is very doubtful that Adam ate anything. I don't believe he did. I got no scripture for it. And I've nothing Brother Branham said. In fact, everything's contrary. I know that for the very fact that those in paradise are spirit bodies, and they can hug and kiss each other without sensation, pure love and motivation, but they cannot eat. Shake hands, everything else. Can't eat. I guess no need to sleep. We cannot bypass Genesis 1:29 when we consider the body. But remember, those bodies would be supplied for the images that they created with God, even as God supplied the body for Adam and Eve. There was a choice there. Definitely. Not man in his own. Now, amongst the animals, bodies were not given in the Adamic way. That is, it was to begin with. But the seed was in them to procreate by instinct. They would multiply strictly by the procreative act. Eve admits that this is what happened to her in Genesis 3:13. The Lord said to the woman, what is it that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent seduced me. He took me into a sexual act, is what it actually says in the Hebrew. Adam admits Eve invited him into the act. In the 12th verse, he said, the woman you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. He admits it. Genesis 3 and 20 is an admission that Eve was the mother of both the serpent children and the children of Abraham. She was called Eve because she was the mother of all living. It does not say that Adam was, and there is no chance that he was, because in the book of John, Cain has designated as his father the evil one, and Adam at no time ever had any designation of evil imputed him because God was his father. All right. The serpent line mingled with the Adamic line. Cain married his own sister, half-sister. So it went. Well, not even a half-sister. Just was the daughter of Adam and Eve. I don't know what you'd call it. The Adamic line stayed separate for quite some time. But they began to interbreed, mingling the seed, as it says in Genesis, the 6th chapter, and you will notice exactly how it puts it, which opens your eyes to the truth. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. More women than men. The sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful. So they began breeding, interchanging, intermarrying, until there was no true human left, race left. They went completely sexual. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Now, when did his spirit begin to strive? His spirit strove back there with Adam and Eve and said, now listen, by the word. The spirit strives by the word. Man comes by and say, God's striving with me. Be off the word, you're a liar. Complete liar. Fooled by the devil. God strives by his word. Because the spirit has to have a conduit. The human being in himself is not the conduit. No, I'm sorry. We wouldn't need a prophet. All of it could be Janison, not Janison, Jambler, Korah, Dathan, and Byram. Who needs you, Moses? Hallelujah, we got God too. Bunch of Pentecostals. Baptist, Presbyterians. I think the Baptists under fall were worse than the Pentecostals. At least they'd give you a fair shake on who owned what. At least I think, I don't know if they would or not. You couldn't talk. Spirit's got to have a conduit. God's striving, as he did in the days of Adam. Adam, here's the truth. Here's the right tree. And then he said, now again, he said, look, stay within the right trees, Adam and Eve. And you intermarry with each other, not outside. But these men were too virile for their own good. They're caught with lust. So what happened? Hybrids almost look pretty nice, you know. So they got caught with the fair women. God said, I won't strive you. I'm going to cut his days back to 120. There were giants in the earth in those days. Sure, be interbreeding. Also after that, when the sons of God came to the daughters of men, they bare children to them. That's what we're talking about. So that's what brought about the fall before the flood. And God saw the wickedness of man was great upon the earth. From that time on, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. Now you're dealing with the sexual assault of sexual spirits upon men and women. You got it, because this is where it all came from. Eve let herself be entered in by the serpent. Adam turned right around, entered in also, and he got in order to save her. So he got caught up in the act. Now all these children are caught up in the act. And I read you out of Romans what was taking place in Genesis 6. Man gets so low down with the AIDS, which he was expiring. What they call the sleeping disease in Africa. God got sorry for man, so he said, instead of letting a man live it out, he said, I'll just kill off but all but he. God's going to do the same thing at the end of this time. Everybody dies but the bride. The Lord said, I'll destroy man whom I've created on the face of the earth. Doesn't sell an island, just created and face the earth. Both man and beast, and the creeping and fowl of the air, repent of me that I have made them. He said, I'm sorry, he said, they're in such a terrible mess that they're in there. All right. They're in that horrible condition. The 8th verse, but Noah found grace in the eyes of God. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and genetically perfect. In his generation, his wife wasn't, and his children were. Last true human being died with Noah. Humanity after the flood carried both seeds, and with no way to tell them apart physically, one lump. But God moves now by predestination. According to the book of Romans, the 9th chapter, he explains beautifully. Without understanding serpent seed, and the intermingling, how in the world could you ever justify the 9th chapter of Romans? predestination election. Couldn't do it. Not verse 6, not as though the verse, chapter 9, not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Tells you right there. Jacob had 12 sons, and in his loins was serpent seed as sure as there was God seed. And every one of his children, and their children, every human being. Neither are they the seed of Abraham. And they're all children because they came up from Abraham. Well, you can trace your lineage from back there. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. In other words, you've got to come from a source beyond Abraham that was put within Abraham to be the progenitor as Adam was and Eve in order to have these sons that God wants, holy Jerusalem. That is, they are the children of the flesh. They're not the children of God. In other words, what happened back there in the garden? Satan told a lot of truth. He said, look, you can have children this way and it'd be very pleasurable. To the extent today, man is not interested in procreation except as a means and an end to recreation. That's why the world's messed up. That's where Brother Branham took the hard no stand he took. And we've got to understand it. There is recreation at the price of procreation, but you've got to know the times when recreation stands still or you're going to get procreation. Now, that's the word of God, the prophet brought us. They are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Now notice, any number can be born a certain way, but there's only a certain number born another way. For this is the word of promise, that this time I'll come to Sarah, and she shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also conceived by one, even our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that called. Now notice, these children not yet born were not living souls. Three. Now, if they'd have died prematurely, they'd have been up there. Like Brother Branham's little daughter. She died very young. He saw her as a grown woman. So much for these people who have visions and wonderful visions and revelations. There's angels up there raising your children and, you know, oh, brother. Somebody raised sand in their eyes, spiritual sawdust. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. It's written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Did God author the act of Eve and the serpent and then Adam and Eve? No, he did not. It was there as a choice. And they blew it. Now, is God then the author of unrighteousness? No way. No way. In fact, if you follow this, you'll see how God is perfectly righteous. He said to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I have mercy, and compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it's not of him that willeth or him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy. Well, that's fair enough. God's God. For the scriptures unto Pharaoh, even for this same person raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and thy name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore he hath mercy on whom I have mercy, and whom he will he harden it. Thou wilt then say, now how does he harden? He just puts the things of God in front of him. And they say, no way. No way. No way. How much of the things of God do you think the serpent wanted? Why, there was no soul in the bird. He had no place for a soul. He had a place, but no soul. So he was strictly instinctual. Why do you think parents got to watch their kids so hard? And they do watch them without even explaining things. Because they're instinctual. That's why. And if you don't know that, you are sicker than I am. I will say one thing I admit about this modern society. They have tried to bring out in the open, in a frank and honest way, which turned horribly frank and dishonorable, what the Christian should have brought out. When the Bible said that women are to teach their daughters how to love their husbands and so on, I believe that takes in the whole gamut. You know, brother, sister, look. The people perish from lack of knowledge. And now they're going into eternal damnation because they've turned down the knowledge of the Most High. No, the people just won't listen. Well, you'll say then, why do you yet find fault? Who has resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who are you that replies against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed, why have you made me thus? Oh, boy, people sure don't like this. They say, well, if I had to believe that, I'd just leave God. What made you think you got him?
Amen.
Shows what they are. You know, and sweet, lovely people, too. Oh, just so meek and so nervous and want everything just right, right. Oh, so nervous about it. Oh, Brother Dale, if I had to believe that, I don't understand. What do you believe? How can it get any plainer? Okay. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel an honor, another dishonor? Like that's Esau and Jacob. What if God willing to show his wrath and make his power known, endureth much long suffering, the vessel of wrath fitted destruction. Now notice, the Bible specifically teaches that they fitted themselves to destruction. That's in the Greek. But over here it's in the Greek, that he might make known the riches of his glory on vessels of mercy which he had for prepared. The preparing of this vessel is of God. A lot of them don't understand because of Hebrews, the chastening. Okay. 2 Timothy 19, the foundation of God stand assured of this seal, the Lord knoweth them which are his, predestination. It is also true that the elect is able to separate the unbeliever from the make-believer, unbeliever from the true believer, according to 1 John 3, 8 to 13. That, of course, is one of my favorites. First John, I'll get in a second here. The third chapter, beginning at verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might bring to nothing or destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Now that's evidently the sin that would separate you from God. There is a sin unto death. Evidently, when you're born again, you will sin. But you'll never do that sin. There won't be anything in you that will attribute unto Satan the works of God, the Word of God, and these other things that are pertinent in the Bible. And this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. They're manifested. That they can pick out right now what is of God and what is of the devil. They don't get their wires crossed up. Whosoever doeth righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now, what is the doing of righteousness? It's the act that Abel did in worshiping God. The unrighteous act is what Cain did in worshiping God. One went by revelation, the other went by his own reasoning. And they both could say, I got the Bible. Because we know Cain offered a first fruit. Whether he really had in his mind to offer a first fruit and say, I don't need it. I'm going to rise and return. I'm going to prove I'm okay. I don't need the death of anybody. I don't need, you know, Brother Brand said, something's got to die for something else to live. Whether Cain did all that, Brother Brand said, by doing what he did, he denied that his mother and father, or rather his mother and his father, the serpent and Eve, had done a sexual sin. Okay, this also explains again, John 3, 16, 17, the condemnation remains even after the blood. All right, First John 3, 8 to 13 is the complete exposition of John 3, 16 plus, as already stated. This ability to discern, as it says in Malachi 3, 18, to discern righteousness and wickedness, is the antidote for Matthew 24 and 24, where deception is at the highest peak in spiritual history and revelation, where only the works of God by the Holy Ghost can bring into evidence what people see, and they're still off the word. Nobody can understand unless you understand Malachi 3:18, which happens at the time of the presence, the great healing ministry in the earth, when Elijah to be on the scene and everything to be restored. Now that's what you need, that discernment to tell them apart. Let's go then to Malachi 3:18 because I want to read it. I think it's the best thing I do that. I've read it many times, but we'll read it again. This is at the end time of the Elijah proposition. Okay. At the time of the bride, talking the word which has been given her. And then it says in verse 18, then you shall return. Where? To the Lord. Turn back to Elijah. And discern between righteousness and wickedness. Who are the righteous? Who are the wicked? Who is Abel? Who is Cain? Between him that serves God, Abel, and him that serves not, which is Cain. How are you going to know? You got to have the word test. Those that go by the word of God, the revelation of the hour, they're the ones that are in. All right. Thirdly, we look at the finality of it all, the study of man. At the time of the presence or the appearing, which is Matthew 3:11-12, as the judge, the separator, I indeed baptize with water and repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire, whose fan is in his hand. Present tense, at that time, judge, son of man. Now today, what's he doing? Thoroughly purging his floor, gathering his wheat in the garner, ready to burn the chaff. Pentecost has got to burn. I'm not for it, it's just what God says. All right? Compare this to John 1:14. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. With that 18th verse, no man has seen God in time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, relating forth by words. So there you are. He's going to become flesh again through a prophet, because that's all. God was in the prophet. Never forget, God was in the prophet. There's the key to the whole thing. All right, let's read 23:27. He said, I am the voice of one crying, let us make straight the way of the Lord, to set the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent out of the Pharisees asked him, saying, why do you baptize then if you're not Christ nor Elijah, nor that prophet? John answered, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe lifts that I am not worthy to unloose. The same thing happened today. William Branham baptizing, the Ohio River standing there, according to Revelation 10:1-7. The pillar of fire appeared. God came down like a rainbow, circular form, and was seen by many people. And the prophet prophesied. Same thing right there. Now with this is the same identically to 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The Lord himself descended with a shout, the voice of the arcane trump of God. This is identical to 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 20, where all in Adam are sinned, all in Christ made alive. Christ himself the first fruit, then the rest at his presence. When he sets the church in order to get her out of here in the rapture, to bring on a resurrection, of course, first of all. But then the church must be set in order. What is the order for the church? To get her back to where Adam was before, not before now, he sinned, but to get him back where he was in a fallen condition to reach and take the tree of life. Because you are still going to be you until you're changed. No perfection this side of the resurrection. You're going to have your troubles, but they're going to decrease because the sweet spirit coming into the church, more and more you're getting closer to those spirits moving in to get their bodies, the dead. Just a dimension out here, brother, sister, that's all. Just a dimension, the highest dimension. Moving in closer and closer, you will be changing, 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 but there's no such thing as perfection until you are redeemed physically. We are already back to that position. Why? Because it is very simple. Revelation 20:10 tells you that the book is unsealed. And at that time, the tree of life is in view. Now, as soon as the church is set in order, the rapture takes place. After the rapture takes place is Revelation 19:11-20, where he comes back on the white horse. And Revelation 21:6 is where he takes the devil and all the rest and puts them in a pit. And then you go on to the white throne judgment. After the white throne judgment, you come to the New Jerusalem, which is the very end. I'm just going through this very carefully. That's where you're going to go. Now, to wind down the message, know this. This is the hour of man's destiny. And the hour of his destiny is Revelation 22:10, which I mentioned, the unsealing of the book, which is Revelation 10, 1 to 7. The book is unsealed now, which was sealed up. Now, what do you find as soon as the book is unsealed? He that is just is unjust still. Unjust is unjust still. He that is filthy is filthy still. He that is righteous still. And he that is holy still. And God's reward is with him because there's no more rewards to be given because it's all over. So whatever you've laid up, that's what you're going to get by way of reward. Whatever he wants to do for you has already been purchased and is in the works. So that's perfectly fine. We got a little time left? Okay, we can finish off then. All right. There is no more to come. Time as we know it is fading out. Eternity is coming on apace. And eternity, remember, will be inhabited by immortals. So the key to the blending of time to eternity is the blending in of men becoming immortal in their spirits by the word, which will bring about immortal bodies, not by sex. Now, not even by resurrection. By virtue of the fact of the life that is within you, bringing you a complete metamorphosis, the Bible teaches. The final voice of Hebrews 12 speaking from heaven is taking place. And that voice warns us, I, Jesus, have sent my messenger to testify to these things in the churches. I'm the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that is thirst come, let whosoever will, and take of the waters of life freely. Now that's the message going out today by God, the faithful Christ, the servant, the prophet, and the bride. And he said, I testified every man that hears the words of the prophet's book. That's the unsealed book. You couldn't hear before it was unsealed. So that's for now. Don't you dare add a word or you'll go straight to the great tribulation. And don't you take out a word, because not only will you go to the great tribulation, you have already shown anything in the book of life, you're going to miss it all. Shows what it is. What is there to look at? What is there to look to? Well, we're looking at this hour of the revelation where a man is coming to fulfill the purpose which God appointed him. A study of man, and that is what the Bible contains. And history tells it. It's open before us. But there will be no history soon. And all the evil will be destroyed, and even the bride will forget her days of humanity, according to chapter 21, 3 and 4 in Revelation. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, that Jesus Christ himself, the incarnation of God, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God, and God himself, their God, shall wipe away all tears in their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither any more pain, for the former things are passed away. They're gone. See? Just think. We will walk right into the millennium, and the new heavens, and the new earth, with this message of the revelation of God and his grace given us by the prophet. Just like the Exodus. Walk right in. How many signs did Israel do? Nothing. Moses did it all. What did Israel bring forth? Nothing. Moses did it all. God was Moses. God Moses. What did they have to do? Kill the lamb, which means take what is given you, apply it, and walk out and into it. And don't get shaken down in between times. There is your anthropology. Man, a complete failure, fallen from the face and image of God. But here also is your philosophy. The wisdom of God in Christ has brought you back far greater than from whence you fell. Let's rise and be dismissed. Gracious Heavenly Father, again we want to testify to your goodness and love and mercy that you have given us in this hour. And we say we are thrilled absolutely, Lord, with your kind love that you have shown toward us. And surely, Lord, it is as you said in your word, all things are ready, come to the feast. I trust, Lord, none of us are making excuses, but we are avidly waiting for the doors to open, when we can go from the spiritual feasting we are doing on this living word to the incarnate bodies, Lord, those bodies that you predestinated for us,
And what you want is the ultimate. And then sit down at the wedding supper with the Lamb, God Himself incarnated. And Lord, to think that that is not only possible, but is in the making. It's going on right now. So we can say even more clearly with Brother Branham than ever before, if we're not bride, there's certainly a bride out there somewhere. And by the grace of God, Lord, could we just even be friends of the bridegroom to get somewhere near the wedding, if not this hour, down the road, Lord, when you make up all your jewels, finally, and the saints gather around New Jerusalem, the bride. For we know, Lord, and we have seen and believe enough that surely, Lord, there is a place for us. But by your grace, Lord, we're believing that there won't be a place outside the wedding supper, but there'll be a place inside the wedding supper, Lord, for us. Father, cleanse us from all sin today, Lord, we pray. Of all pettiness, anger, malice, and those things we saw mentioned in the word that lies in man. Get us away from backbiting and ghosts and the sepulchral folks, Lord, that show forth coffins rather than resurrection. Oh, God, may we not identify with the graveyard. May we identify with Christ who is risen amongst us and know that assuredly, even as He has a body, you, Lord God, have a body there waiting. That wonderful body, our great physical high priest. Even now, Lord, you are Melchizedek. You are our judge. You are all of it. And one day we're going to be apart with you. We trust by the grace of God that these bodies, Lord, that we have now will begin to line up more and more and more due to the spiritual resurrection of our faith in which we have in Thee. So we commend ourselves, Lord, every single one of us, Lord, to walk forth in victory and greater victory and ever-widening victory, Lord, over the world, the flesh, and the devil by the released power of the Word within us to the praise of the glory of God, to the witnessing that we are Christ, and Christ is worthy that He is God. Unto Thee we ascribe the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.